In this session, we want to entitle it New Age, OY. The New Age movement. You know, we live in a day and a time when many people believe that religion is having its greatest moment. And probably religion is. But here's the question. Is religion pleasing to God? Here's the question. What is the direction that religion is going? And as I look at the Bible, what I find is that the enemy of Christianity is religion. We have a lot of people today that claim to be Christians, but they're Christians from the mouth out. You know what I mean? See, I can tell you I'm a millionaire. Does that make me a millionaire? No. I could write you a check for $1 million and give it to you and say, I didn't know you were a millionaire. I say, well, I'm not, but I just got up this morning, I felt like a million. You know? I could say I'm the President of the United States. Does that make me the President? And so a lot of people are saying they're Christians, but that doesn't make them a Christian, does it? There's only one thing that makes a person a Christian, and that's when they have received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Have you done it? Otherwise, you might just be a religious person. And believe it or not, the Bible says that in the end, it will be a religion that is an enemy of the cross of Christ. Religion, the New Age movement, is the enemy of Christianity. And as we look at the New Age, OY, I want to begin by looking at Revelation chapter 17. And what we find in the book of Revelation is this. Everything that Christ has, Satan wants. Christ has a bride. Christ has a church. And so therefore Satan says, I want a bride. I want my own church. And so he'll seek to get one. Revelation chapter 17 verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, come here and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. Now we'll stop there. Because already people are saying, well, that's why I don't read Revelation, because what in the world does it mean when you say that here is the great harlot and she sits on many waters? Well, the marvelous thing about Revelation is just about every symbol in the book is explained in the book. Look at verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are people, multitudes, nations, tongues. Isn't that clear? So here, instead of a virgin bride like Christ has and wants, Satan says, I want a church. I want a bride. And his bride will be a harlot, a prostitute, one who's willing to sell herself. And this harlot will be such that it will sit, have power, authority, on many nations. Now, I believe that there's not a single religious organization in the world by itself that can satisfy all that the Bible has to say about the last religious system. But I'll tell you this. I believe the last religious system is the fastest growing religion today. There is a religious system in the world today that is bringing together people, denominations, so-called Christians that have never been brought together before. It is not a single denomination, but it brings together those that are Hindus and Buddhists, Jews and Muslims, Catholics and Protestants, Charismatics and Baptists, and the whole works. And there's not a single group of people that are immune from the work of religion that is going on. Now, before you're done, you're going to get the idea that I don't like religion. And if you get that message, you're exactly right. Because I'm a Christian. I'm not religious, but I'm a Christian. Religion has never saved a single person, and it never will. But Christ will save everyone that comes to him. Will you come? And so Satan's great work will be done through a false religious system. She'll have authority over many people. It will transpire every country, every ocean. It will bring the world into a new unity. It's the New Age movement. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. In other words, there will be a joining of that which is religion and politics. It's amazing to me how we see the two going hand in hand today. It's because there's power there. And there are people that are so-called preachers, and they're not into conversion, as one person said it. He has a great big glass cathedral. I'll let you guess that it's Robert Shuler. He says, my thing's not conversion. Then what is it? I mean, if a person is not going to preach to see souls saved, then why is he in the business of preaching? Well, what we find today is that they're there because of power. That's why. And it says that there will come a day that religion will join hands with that which is political. They will commit fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They will slaughter people. One of the greatest enemies of Christianity has been religion. You go back into the history of the church and you'll find more saints have died at the hands of religion than any other way. Incredible. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman, notice her position, sit on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, bedecked with gold, precious stones, and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. The last religious system. What a sight. For in this last religious system, what we find is that it will be a worldwide religious system. It will be known because it will be a bloody one. It will have no qualms about taking the life of any person. There will be no such thing as it's sacred life to them. They will simply do whatever they need to do to gain power. First of all, I believe that as we look at this, we see that it's universal. Her position. She sits worldwide. Next, her passion. Verse 2. Her passion is to become powerful. Verse 3. With that power, she will rule as best she can in the world. Her prejudice. She is against those that would honor God. And it says that the blood of saints becomes her drink. Is that true of religion? I believe it is. Perhaps you, as I did when I was in junior high, learned this little poem. Listen to it. A smiling young lady from Niger took a ride on the back of a tiger. They came back from the ride with a lady inside and a smile on the face of the tiger. Now, I know the poet wasn't necessarily speaking of this, but it sure fits, doesn't it? Because according to the Bible, this religious system gains power to all the world by riding on a political vehicle. And it roams the world. It says, I am a great person. I've brought together the entire world. And then suddenly, the political system will turn and devour the harlot. Look, if you will, at verse 17. Verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thee shall hate the harlot, shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Not before, but then. And the woman whom thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So you see, they will eventually hate religion, and they'll do religion in. But first of all, it will be religion that will bring all of the world together. It will be a religious movement. And so as she sits there, and as she brings them there, she will have a unique position. She will have unlimited prosperity. Listen, you look around, and I'll tell you what. The church is big business, isn't it? I read in the paper where some of these These so-called telecasts take $1 million a week to carry on. Frankly, that's disgusting. I believe more good could be done by bringing the gospel to people one-on-one. There will be through 100,000 television programs or radio programs, and we have a radio program. We preach on the radio, but I'll tell you what. I'm tired of having preachers come on and beg me for money to come on tomorrow to beg for more money to come on tomorrow to beg for more. We've lost something somewhere, haven't we? Folks, it says this, are we preaching Christ, not bucks, Christ? And it seems to me that the church is in the business of getting richer, bigger, bigger's better. But that's not what the Bible says. Next. It says her power, she'll come to master, and then she'll persecute. Then, as we come to chapter 17, where we find through verses 7 through 13, we find not only the last religious system, but we look at the last political system. Now notice what the Bible says. This was written, folks, hundreds of years ago. And it says, verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, five are fallen. One is right now at this time, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short space. Now let's stop our reading there. Let's see how good he is at history. He says, listen, the last religious system will be worldwide. It will be powerful, it will be rich, it will bring all people of every collection together. And at the same time, there will be a new political faction. You'll know it because there will be seven kings and five have fallen. All right, here we go. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Alexander the Great, the Medes and the Persians. Five have fallen. He's good at history, isn't he? One is. Who was in power right then? Rome. The Roman Empire. And the Bible says this. And the other is not yet come. He says there will not be another world power all the time from the Roman Empire all the way until the end. And when you get to the end, he says, you'll know because there will be the seventh one. And he'll only reign a short time, a small fraction of time. Verse 11. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. And he is of the seven. He will come out of the seven. And it goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and to give their power and strength unto the beast. What a picture. It says that in the last days you will see the one that is right now revived. You'll know that it will have ten kings. In the book of Daniel, it says that out of the legs, remember the image? To a Hebrew young man, he gave every Gentile world power. He spoke of Babylon, the head. He spoke of the chest of silver. He spoke of the thighs of bronze and Alexander the Great. He names them. He orders them. He numbers them. He names them three times in the book of Daniel. Then he comes to the legs. And the legs were a picture of the Roman Empire. And it says, out of the legs, part of iron, part of clay, will be 10 kings, 10 toes. They will be an extension of the Roman Empire. The common market. Now, you don't make friends when you speak about people that are on the political scene right now. But the common market, I believe, is that last political system. It is an extension territorially of the Roman Empire. It began in 1957 with the Treaty of Rome. And when it began, people were feeling sorry for it because here were some nations, six of them, who were trying to withstand the threats of communism. But I tell you what, great strides have been made. And in the Bible, it says that this thing eventually will become a great power. I'm sure that you have read, as I have read, as a matter of fact, I kept the magazine out of the Northwest Airlines. As we flew here, they are making great predictions for the common market in the year 1992, December 31st, 1992. for a united Europe. There's something else that's interesting. Several years ago, I was talking to a librarian. They had a service where you could give a project to a librarian and she would look for you. And so I said, use Wall Street Journal, Time, and Newsweek magazine and see if you can tell me where the common market is gaining its power. And after several weeks, she said, I've got a folder about an inch thick. When I went back and began to look through some of these, and it gave me incredible facts about the common market and how that they were growing so rapidly, economically, population-wise, and in every other way. Sure, there's problems, but it was fantastic. Among the things they said was this. In 1973, 55% of Americans could not name one country in the common market in the Gallup poll. Pathetic, isn't it? And now Time magazine says this, the United States is no longer number one, and their candidate for number one is the common market. That's what Time magazine says. Published in the United States, they say the common market is now number one. Furthermore, here is an article out of the Minneapolis Star and Tribune. It says this. When the common market began, we thought that we would have to help them out. The reality is this. Far from being helped out, what was born was a success. Compared to the United States, the common market was an economic midget, but now it has grown. The work has succeeded so much that Western Europe today is no one's object of pity. Its combined production is greater than America's, Japan's, or the Soviet Union. The original six nations have grown to 12. Several have standards of living higher than America's. Far from being dependent on aid or investment from the United States, the EEC now competes as an economic equal and often as a superior. Congratulations, you are the coming power of the world. Well, I find that interesting. I also find it interesting that there is a 13th nation that wants in. They say, well, wait a minute. I thought Revelation said there's only 10. Oh, here's the part that's fun. You know, at the time that I asked the librarian to do this, there were only 10. I said, you know, I think the Bible says in the book of Daniel that three more nations will get in and the Antichrist will pull three out. I said, I really think there's going to be 13 nations, so three can be pulled out. She said, you've got to be kidding. And she ran across the library, yelling as she went in a quiet library, and she pulled down the article that talked about two nations that have already been admitted and a third one that wants in. I don't think it will get in by January the 1st of this year. But to me it says this, you know what, we're on the brink of seeing the last political system even match what the Bible says. My friend, this was written 1900 years ago. Daniel 7 says that there's three toes, and when the Antichrist comes, he will pull three of those out, and yet 10 will remain. Now, if you remove three, and there's 10 remaining, it says there had to be 13, right? And today, there's 12 in the common market, with the 13th one that's made application. My dear friend, the 13th one should come after we're gone, can it? And by the way, I personally believe that England will be among the three that will be pulled out. I think that's at least one of the three that will be pulled out. Isn't it marvelous that the Bible predicted this so long ago? The Bible said this in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, that there will come a day that only Tarshish. Now, if you look at the word Tarshish in the Bible, you'll find it mentioned about 20 times. It's an island. It's a coastland. It's known as a sea-faring nation. The Phoenicians got their tin from the land of tin, or Britain. It was Tarshish. And the Bible says that Tarshish and all of its young lions, the descendants of England, I think it includes Canada, the United States, will side with Israel in a coming day, but they will have no strength to stop Russia. I don't know about you, but I know America's there. We couldn't stop anybody. But when Russia comes against Israel, we're going to say, you know, you shouldn't do that. Didn't you find it interesting recently that is a stand, as the question was called in the United Nations, how many nations stood with Israel? In the United Nations, there were two votes against Arafat. Israel won, the U.S. another. Come on, folks, encourage them to vote for Israel. You know, I believe that we're seeing the Bible fulfilled. It says, five have fallen. One is, the Roman Empire is. And when it stops, there will not be another until you see this conglomeration, this ten-headed monster come. And it will only rule for a short period, and this ten-headed monster will give its power to the Antichrist. And it appears that the Antichrist will control the world. Verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. It appears that this monster, this political monster, with the woman on his back, will control the whole world. There's only one thing that stands between this monster controlling the universe, and it's the Lamb. Say, what kind of a fighter is the Lamb? They're pretty ferocious, aren't they? How many of you have been attacked by a lamb recently? But I tell you what, this lamb happens to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And my dear friend, it will fall to Him. Isn't He a great one? And it says this, that we'll be there. It says those that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Friends, that's us. That's us in a glorified way. And so I believe that we look around and we see the political reality that is here. I think we see a common market, a unified Europe. Their great target date is 1992. I don't know if they'll make it by then, but I believe that all the world is saying, you know what, it looks to us like this is the up-and-coming power of the world. And it fits exactly geographically and even number-wise exactly what the Bible said 1900 years ago. And that will not take place until the tribulation has already started. Now, in their official spokesman call, the Europe magazine, it is interesting because they describe themselves in the magazine as a ten-headed monster pointing the way to the future. Isn't that great? Furthermore, on the cover, the June 1975 cover of a European Community magazine, they adopted as their official symbol a Roman goddess riding on a beast. An open defilement of the Bible, Revelation 17. Now we consider and say, well, we don't know if all of these things are really coming true, but I'll tell you what, there are some people that must know because they're an open defilement of what the Bible says. So that's the last political system. If we were to look at chapter 18, we'd find that here is described the last economic system. For the sake of time, we will not be looking at that in our study this afternoon because we want to go back now and we want to look more at the last religious system. For I believe as we look around, there is something that fits exactly this last religious system. It is called the New Age movement. It is the fastest growing religion in the world. They boast more converts a year ago than Christianity had in an entire decade. In my possession, I have an article that speaks of how that recently they brought together in a movement of prayer and peace, they brought together a total of 1 billion people at one time. Worldwide, wouldn't you say? And in the article, they boast that it was Hindus and Buddhists. It was Catholics and Protestants. It brought people together of all kinds. Sometimes they unite in terms of feeding the hungry. Aid for Africa. Hands across America. Maybe it hands across Canada. I don't know. Well-known people often involved. John Denver is part of it. Willie Nelson. Political leaders, including the mayor of Denver, Colorado, the governor of Colorado. Prince Charles, convert to the New Age. As we look at these things, I say, all right, is it really growing as fast as some people claim it is? And I believe that as we begin to look at this, you'll see why I think we're looking at the very last political power and the very last religious system. Let's take a look at it. How would you describe this idea of the New Age? Well, let me begin by reading to you a description. It says this. In Los Angeles, a public school classroom, 25 first graders lie still as their teacher tells them to imagine that they are perfect beings who are full of light and contain all the wisdom of the universe within them. Now, folks, we're not perfect. And we don't contain all wisdom within us. But it's this idea that we are gods waiting to be discovered. It says this. This exercise is called guided imaginary. It is part of the educator's view and belief that we are all gods. Now, here is the intent, at least on the schools back in the States, it is the intent to encourage each child to see that there's God in them. In the Aquarian Conspiracy, self-appointed New Age advocate Marilyn Ferguson makes this clear. She said, the New Age is broader than any reform. It's deeper than any revolution. It begins a conspiracy for the new human agenda that has triggered the most rapid cultural realignment in history. The New Age says we see humanity poised on the edge of a worldwide transformation. The supporters believe that the world's economic, military, social, political problems can all be solved by releasing human potential. Folks, that'll never do it. Here's their platform. Number one, the essential idea behind this is that all is one. It's called monism. It means one, unity. It says this. It says there's no separation between humanity and nature, between humans and God. Instead, the universe is a seamless garment, a perfect perfection. Really, the piano, the podium, us, we're all part of the same thing. We're all made of the same molecules. We're the same. And by the way, we're just the same as God. So first of all is one. Second idea is this. All is God. The first, all is one. Next, all is God. It says that the Christian view of a personal God is abandoned in favor of an impersonal, personal energy, force, or consciousness. Now listen, in Eastern religions such as Hinduism, Buddhism, the New Age God is more an it than a person. It is the force of Star Wars. Now, several years ago, I preached against Star Wars. Wasn't the most popular man on the block for a week or two, but I still believe that I did the right thing. You see, the inventors of Star Wars, by their own admission, say this. Just as Greek mythology explains away the Old Testament, Star Wars explains away the New Testament. Do you believe that? I don't. It is a play. The whole thing is a play on good and evil. And in the first movie, I've not seen the movie. I don't plan to see the movie. Don't offer to pay my way to see the movie. I just simply read what the creator said, and that's good enough for me. But they have Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, and the little robots are supposed to be the Christians, and the force of evil, that's the Spirit of God, and they're making fun of the whole thing. I had a neighbor go come and say, Mr. Linsett, isn't Luke Jesus Christ? I said, no, Luke is a doctor, and my kid said, Dad, you're out of it. They're talking about Luke Skywalker. I said, what makes you think Luke Skywalker is Jesus? She said, my teacher at school told me that Luke was Jesus. Yeah. Steven Spielberg, while I'm being unpopular, let me continue. Steven Spielberg, E.T. Steven Spielberg is a Jew, does not believe in resurrection, does not believe in Jesus Christ. But in his movie E.T., 33 parallels between Jesus and E.T. In the movie it says that E.T. is our hope for the future. What does the Bible say? It says we have only one hope, even the blessed appearing of Jesus Christ. The movie says that E.T. is love. What does the Bible say? God is love. In the Bible, Christ comes from heaven. E.T. comes from an extraterrestrial. He comes to the earth, he dies, he has atoning or healing power. I tell you what, I'm beginning to be suspicious that Steven Spielberg got the idea from somewhere other than his own imagination, aren't you? Ted Koppel said,
to Steven Spielberg, it's essentially the Christ story, isn't it? He saw through it. And now the whole deal, the return of E.T. is a mockery on the return of Christ. And Christians are silly enough to go to it. My dear friend, sooner or later, we've got to realize that Steven Spielberg and the whole Star Wars cast does not believe or support the Bible in any way. They are part of the New Age movement. And sooner or later, we've got to be willing to take a stand against those things. Listen to this. Thirdly, the New Age claims we are all God. First, all is one. Second, all is God. Third, we are all gods, whether we realize it or not. Listen, the God of the Bible is dethroned and humans are crowned supreme. The Father in heaven is replaced by the divine within. The key to understanding oneself is to enter into New Age thinking. It is to awaken the God who sleeps at the root of our human being. This is the goal behind Come Fluent Education. Children must realize the divine within. Folks, that's not the message of the Bible. You see, the New Age says, you're a God. And you look in the mirror and you say, you know, I've always kind of thought that. I mean, you know, if my wife would just recognize the God in me, it'd be all right. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, no, you're a sinner. You're a wretch. Now answer this. What would people rather hear? That they're a sinner or they're a God? You want to see why there's more converts to the New Age movement? So there's their philosophy. Listen to this. The New Age people say being born again does not mean spiritual rebirth through faith in Christ, but instead reincarnation, being born again and again and again, and different lives to atone for one's sins and to realize one's own godhood. How can you have a New Age experience? Through drugs, through Eastern meditation, through yoga, through martial arts, through hypnosis, through biofeedback, through sex. All ways for you to have a religious experience. See what's the fastest growing religion in America on college campuses? Listen to this. The underlying theme of the New Age is this, that we are self-realized gods. We inherit a supernatural nature. The New Age disciples teach that as lords of our own universe, we create our own reality by the power of our thoughts. We no longer submit to the God in heaven, but to the God within each of us. My dear friend, I think it's the grandest lie that Satan has ever manufactured, but it's the fastest growing religion. I believe that I can show you that it is taking over businesses, corporations, advertisements in an alarming fashion. I saw its message in the Olympics. I'm not opposed to the Olympics. I'm simply saying that I believe that this thing is growing so fast that every area of life is being attacked by it. And sooner or later, we've got to deal with the reality of the impact that this New Age movement is making on everything around us, including the church. The New Age movement is in the church. I'll even read to you, time permitting, something of some of the church programs that are going on. Listen as I share with you. From a magazine, it says, for most Americans, the New Age is a harmless mix of Shirley MacLaine, Chandler's, crystals, but for a small number of Christians, by the way, I'm among those, they are concerned that the New Age movement is more. It's a work of Satan. It says this, what it basically teaches is you can create your own destiny through the powers of your own mind. Now, here's their program. There's just 7 points. Listen. It says, there's a growing hostility between Christianity and the New Age. Here's their program. Number one, Jesus was not and is not the only Christ, nor is He God. I don't know what that does to your blood pressure, but I know what it does to mine. Number two, God is an impersonal cosmic, a God of energy forces, such as Star Wars. Number three, man is himself God, for he consists of and is the creator of forces. Man already exercises the power inherent to his divinity and needs only to awaken this fact in himself. Number four, Man should seek and accept spiritual instruction and direction directly from the spirit world. Number five, all religions and religious teachings lead to the same goal. All have equal merit. Six, the ancient wisdom of Babylon, Greece, Egypt, not the Bible, is the basis of all truth. The Bible simply comes from these. Number seven, sin and evil do not exist. Peace and love are ultimate realities. Proof? Return of the Jedi. Now, we fell for it. I mean, let's admit, we fell for it. We thought it was family entertainment. And then we find out that somewhere in this whole play of good and evil, that Luke Skywalker actually is the son of Darth Vader. Jesus is nothing more than the son of Lucifer. That's what he's saying. And that's what those men personally believe, is that Jesus is the son of Lucifer. Folks, I want you to know that that is as contrary to the Bible as any statement could ever be. And yet people are falling for it, and we have whole New Age churches that are coming into existence. In an article written and published by the New York Times, it said that within a few years, it will soon be impossible for companies, corporations, to compete without New Age thinking. And for this article, and the article will be available if you're interested, it said this, representatives of some of the largest corporations, including IBM, AT&T, General Motors, met in New Mexico to discuss how the metaphysics, the occult, and Hindu mysticism might help executives compete in the marketplace. They go on to say this, that we recognize that something is changing. Researchers say an increasing number of middle-class Americans, many of them middle-aged, are showing an interest in the supernatural phenomena that blend Eastern mysticism and Western occult thinking. They say this, as you look at it, it represents a complete rejection of Judeo-Christian bedrock American values. Then it goes on to say this, that these ideas are now introduced into the Harvard School of Business. It is more than just a passing fancy. It is a way of thinking. It is a total way of life. They go on to say, it is the force at work in George Lucas' Star Wars movie. It introduces the New Age. Despite its criticism, the New Age has found its way into Stanford's university, well-regarded school of business. It will find its way into just about every major corporation's advertisement in the next few years. Let's see, has it made that transition? Well, first of all, in terms of entertainment, Shirley MacLaine, out on a limb. New Age to the core. Shirley MacLaine claims that she has been born again and again and again and again. She stands on the edge of the ocean and she says, I am God. Folks, I don't know if you agree with that, but I don't. I think that's contrary to everything the Bible stands for. Shirley MacLaine was so successful that you're sure to see additional books. As a matter of fact, she's working on a number of them right now. Listen to some of these advertisements. Crystal Light says, I believe in crystal light because I believe in me. Find that one in the Bible. Here's another one. You deserve a break today. Now, I'm not saying to buy your hamburgers there. I'm just saying you need to realize that even McDonald's, even the Golden Arches, McDonald's, sells hamburgers trying to convince you that you are something special. There are cars that are designed for the human race. Listen, be all you can be. Our government uses that to recruit soldiers. Be all you can be. You know what that is? A great big old sinner. That's about all you can be without Christ, isn't it? Listen to this one. Teach her to love herself. A church sponsor. Teach her to love herself. Find that one in the Bible. Anything you can dream, you can do. Now, I'd like to see them prove that. Anything you can dream, you can do. Boy, I just don't think they could really prove that to you. That one happens to be a life insurance company that has as its symbol a rock. Have you seen it? Don't you love those commercials? It says, if you can dream it, you can do it. All right, you call up your prudential man and say, all right, swallow the ocean. I mean, just give him a try. time you'll take out a $1 million policy if you can swallow the ocean. I mean, if you can dream it, you can do it, he says. Crazy. Get in touch with your feelings. I did it my way. If it feels good, do it. Satisfy yourself. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. Mr. Rogers, do y'all have Mr. Rogers up here? Oh my. Mr. Rogers has children sing "This Little Light of Mine." He tells them that the little light is the divine within them. Yeah, recently, 1 week ago, we had a whole article on Mr. Rogers in our paper back home. You know what they say? Mr. Rogers is always looking for the good, for the God in us. That's nice, isn't it? I'll tell you what, it's all part of the New Age thinking. You see, what we have found is simply this, that people today, it's for self-improvement. It's for trying to do those things that make us better and better without Christ. That's the difference, without Christ. And I find that people are falling for it. Corporate mind control. This is out of Newsweek magazine. It says how that last year $5 billion were spent by large corporations bringing in New Age thinkers, philosophers to teach management courses how people could believe in themselves and improve themselves, positive thinking, enhancement image, and the whole thing. And unfortunately, it's all part of the New Age thinking. It's around us in every way. 17 Magazine, the magazine most often read by girls between the ages of 14 and 21. And in it, there's an article that says, here's how to mellow out. Here's how to relax. Sit in a position with your legs crossed and begin to say, I am, I am, I am. Say, you know what that's a play on? The words that God gave to Moses. I am that I am. Isn't that a shame? We have the idea that we can play little God. We can become gods. And this thing is growing at such an incredible rate. In the Olympics, maybe you noticed that there was a symbol. You know, the five-ring symbol has often been used. But in this year's Olympics, remember in the introduction, they had their new symbol, the yin-yang. Seoul, Korea got permission to use the yin-yang. The yin-yang is a little thing that looks like two circles brought together, and on the front of Sports Illustration, they showed the new symbol. In a special television, they said, the difference between this year's champions and others, these will be trained in their mind as well as in their body. And the yin-yang says that there's no such thing as good and evil. There's no such thing as bad or good. Everything blends together. And the opening ceremonies, remember, they had hundreds of men with ropes, and they challenged each other. They challenged each other. And finally, they curled into a peaceful coexistence, neither good or bad. And Brian Gumbel read the script that is the world coming together. There's no good and no bad. There's no evil. Folks, that's not true. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that there is evil. And it rests in every one of us. Unless we accept Christ as Savior, that evil is enough to keep us out of heaven. But turning to Christ is enough. Turning to Christ is enough to bring us to His eternal presence. Well, there's much more to say on this. Matter of fact, we may want to do a little bit in the next session on that. Although, that's a session on technology and we won't have the time, to be honest. I'm going to run over time for just a moment at the sake of my throat. My throat feels okay, but my wife said if I went over time any longer than a few minutes, she would personally cut my throat. So, on the back table, you will notice three books, Dark Secrets of the New Age. I promise you, if you read this, you won't sleep. Insomnia book. Next one, Mystery Mark of the New Age. In this book, and we're sold out, but we will send one to you if you're interested. In this book, they not only will show you the yin-yang sign, it's taken right out of the Bible of the New Age people, and it was adopted as the new symbol of the Olympics. And it was on television. We were bombarded with it for those 20 days. But also, around the the flame at the Olympics, all the figures, again, were taken completely out, this year were taken out of the New Age Bible. And we watched it. Now, I'm not saying that the Olympics are bad. I'm saying this, that it's in business. It's in management training. It's in commercials. It's in entertainment. It's in our churches. It's in sports. For the first time ever, there is something that will challenge every area of our thinking. That's a match for Christianity, isn't it? Christianity should affect us in every area of life. I'll tell you what, no religion up till now has ever been able to compete with that. But here's one that does, the New Age movement. Remember I told you I was on that plane flying to New York? This young 27-year-old computer programmer said, I'm a convert to the New Age. He said, when you see my Jesus, he says, you'll forget all about yours. These people have run full-page ads in the New York Times. They've run full-page ads in the USA Today. And I simply want to close by looking at that, and then I want to read to you one other scripture. For I believe the New Age movement had its real beginning in the book of Genesis. Remember there was a man by the name of Nimrod? And Nimrod, the religion of Nimrod's day, was unity. And Nimrod said, we'll get together, we'll build a pyramid, and we'll reach up and we'll touch God, and we will be gods. Nimrod had the idea. And God was so disgusted. He scattered the people. He divided the language. And yet as he did so, the religion of Nimrod was carried throughout the world. And you'll find it in every area. It's in our cartoons. And Samarius, the wife of Nimrod, is the Wonder Woman cartoon that is on Saturday mornings that our children look at. And remember, on our Saturday morning cartoon, there's a little boy that helps Wonder Woman. His name is Tammuz, isn't it? Exactly the name of Samarius' son that she says was born of a sunbeam. You can believe that if you want to. I think she was messing around. And we swallow it. Now, I know some people say, well, I bet you can find the New Age in the Smurfs. Matter of fact, I can. Thank you for mentioning it. I sure can. Yeah, Papa Smurf says that he gets his power from Beelzebub. Who's Beelzebub? Now, you may call that white magic if you want to. I call it Satan. And so I believe that we need to understand that we're in a battle. We're in a fight. We're in a fight for our lives. And I believe that the time of Satan is running out, and he knows it's running out, and that's why he is so determined to bring to nothing Christians. And so the little symbol of the yin-yang, if you're interested, come up and I'll show it to you later. It's finding its way now into everything. And it's a symbol right out of the New Age Bible, the cup of the Olympics. There it is. And every time they brought the Olympics on, they showed the cup and they dashed it in front and they said, it's all right, it's part of the Olympics. Well, I'll tell you what, sooner or later, we got to wake up to what Satan is doing. Here's their ad. It says this, full-page ad, shrunk down from the USA Today, drugs, aid, poverty, rampant crime, mass starvation, nuclear threat, terrorism, is there a solution? In answer to our urgent need, the Christ is in the world. A great world teacher for people of every religion and no religion. A practical man with solutions to all of our problems. He loves all humanity. What is he saying? The problems of humanity are real but solvable. The solutions are within yourself. Take your brother's need as a measure of your action and solve the problems of the world. The answer to your problems are simple indeed. Without sharing injustice, man will know no peace. Trust in sharing to relieve the agony of the world. Allow me to show you the way forward into a simpler life where no man lacks, where no 2 days are alike, where the joy of brotherhood manifests through all men. When will we see him? Quote, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Now Satan will take the words of Christ, and one time he will add one word. The Lord says, you shall surely die. And Satan says, you shall not surely die. Did he change it? trick. One word. Another place he takes one word out. Another place he switches the word around. And he changed the whole message. Verse 5. Here's what Satan said to Eve. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. My friend, it's a new age, but it's the same old lie. All the way in the Garden of Eden until now, Satan has not had an original thought. It's still the same lie. I'll make you a God. Follow me. Bite in with me. My dear friend, unfortunately today, preaching of sin is gone. Conviction of sin is not there. We've swallowed the new age. We think that we can improve. We think that we're gods. The Bible says unless we admit that we're a sinner, we have no hope of salvation because Christ came to save sinners. Have you ever received Him? My dear friend, I believe that the new age will be the most accepted religion of all time. It is setting all kinds of records. It is bringing all kinds of people in. It has found its way to advertisement, to business, to religion, to education, and to the church. And the tragedy is this. It's brought in the name of religion, and people listen to a message, and they walk out. And they honestly believe the message instead of the Bible. Folks, if we have a hope, it's got to be in Christ and it's got to be in His written word. Do you know Him? Oh, I pray, oh God, make us wise. Make us wise as we live in these last days before the Lord's return, shall we pray? Oh God, our Father, we come into Your presence this afternoon. And again, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that there was one who loved us even though we were sinners. Lord, we thank You that He went to the cross and died for us and rose again. And Father, we pray that those that have been in attendance here, as we see the warning of God's Word that in the last days, a last political power will come and it will be a revised Roman Empire. Lord, it's here. And paper after paper, magazine after magazine, claims the virtue and the greatness of the common market. Lord, how can we be so blind as to think that we have years to wait? And then, Father, we see this great religious movement that seems to be sweeping America, seems to be sweeping Canada, seems to be sweeping the world. Father, we can only pray that You might wake us up. Father, we pray that if there's one in our midst that doesn't know Christ, that even now they might come and receive Him. The Savior and Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just tell you that our